Hello, my friends, and welcome once again to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Paul White. It is the 25th day of October. We are entering the last full week of the month of October, and I hope that you are blessed, that you are living in. This is the best I can pray for you, honestly. Because blessing is really going to be relative in some respects to what you had yesterday, okay? So I'm praying that you are living in the peace Jesus promised us. Jesus said that we could have peace because he has overcome the world. That even though in the world we will have tribulation, that in him we can have peace because he has overcome the world. And we can have good cheer. So I pray that in a world gone haywire, and it always is for someone, by the way, no matter how good or bad the world is, it's always going chaotic for someone, and it's always going really well for someone else. That's why it's difficult to judge where the world is. It's really, where's your world? So in the midst of a world gone haywire, I pray the peace that passes all understanding, that comes to you because you believe in the one who has overcome the world. This is the victory, John said, that overcomes the world, our faith. By the way, I encourage you to go back and check out a full video we did, a full sermon we did on that from 1 John 5:4, called This is the Victory. That was 1 John number 25 in our sequential lessons through 1 John. We posted that last Wednesday, and we will post another one from 1 John 5 this Wednesday. We teach those on Tuesday evenings. Jump into that study. What a good journey we're on. Speaking of good journeys, we've taken a left turn from Genesis 12. We're in the Abrahamic story early on where God is speaking to Abraham, and we are picking up the Apostle Paul's commentary on Genesis 12, in which he expounds on the knowledge that a promise was made to Abraham and his seed. Paul confines that to singular instead of plural, seed, not seeds. And then he inserts Christ as the recipient of that seed. That brings us to Galatians 3:17. We're going to take Galatians 3 on through the end of the chapter before we go back to Genesis 12. I think that's the best way to approach that. It gives us a very vivid New Testament connection. Here's verse 17. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. Okay, first of all, textual issue here. Earliest Greek translations do not have the prepositional phrase in Christ in the middle of verse 17, actually near the end of verse 17. Let me read it that way. This I say, the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God, that it should make the promise of no effect. The reason we don't have that in our earliest Greek is because it's a little bit out of place. It appears as if it might have been added by a later scribe who wanted to describe that Christ is the confirmation of the covenant. The problem is that God couldn't confirm the covenant with Israel in Christ to Israel prior to the giving of the law because there was no Christ for Israel to look at prior to the giving of the law. So while Christ is the confirmation of covenant for us, and that might be what we can assume this verse can mean with that phrase, God didn't confirm the covenant with Israel in Christ when he gave them Moses. That wouldn't make a lot of sense. And I think you understand chronologically how impossible that would be. So what do we take from this verse aside from that sort of textual understanding? Well, Paul has stated that the law came 430 years later. That's an approximation, by the way. We have the idea in the Genesis account, which we'll get into later, that whenever Abraham actually cuts covenant with God, we'll talk about this when we get there. I don't want to get too sidetracked. But God gives the number of years that the people are going to be in bondage, which has led a lot of people to assume that the Israelites were enslaved for 400 years, but the text really kind of indicates that it's going to be 400 years from that moment, not 400 years of slavery. And so we don't really know for sure how long they would have been in bondage. Again, we'll get into that when we get back in Genesis. What Paul does, his number's a little different here, and so we have to wonder if he's calculating from a different starting point, but that's to sort of miss the forest for the trees. Paul's point is that the law of Moses did not come into effect for over 400 years after God made Abraham his promise, and therefore, what came in later could not annul the covenant that God had already made, because if the law could annul it, then the promise would not be in effect. In other words, the promise would really be no good. What is Paul talking about that it should make the promise of no effect? Let's go back into another Pauline passage, because this is one of the great amazing things about the Bible, both Old and New Testament, is its cross-reference capability. As you can stay within the book and find so many answers, that so many scriptures that speak to other scriptures. This is that famous moment where Paul expands on the understanding of Abraham inheriting the nations, blessing the nations, and instead makes him heir of the world. Paul's the first one to push those borders all the way out to the world. Romans 4:13, the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. In other words, all Abraham had to do was trust God, align his beliefs with God's. That's faith, effectively. Faith is not sort of clicking on a switch to activate something, and if you don't click it on, it doesn't happen. That would mean God is sort of subservient to faith. Faith is really agreeing with what God has already said. Well, what God had already said was, here's the promise. And by faith, man aligns himself with that. So Paul makes the statement that the law, and to a Jew, the phrase the law would have meant Moses. Paul says something incredible. The law can't annul the promise made by faith. And this is an important point. If you're an Israelite and you receive the law through a covenant at Sinai, in which God cuts covenant with the elders of Israel, which is what happens at the top of Mount Sinai. Moses brings the law back down and reads the terms of the law, and you trust it. And you go, okay, that's the terms. There's no reason to believe that that law does not supersede the Abrahamic law, which is why Israel begins to assume their righteousness based on their performance rather than their righteousness based upon faith. And that will be Paul's culminating argument in Romans 9, that Israel had misplaced one law with another. They had forgotten that they were already righteous through Abraham's promise, and they assumed that Moses' law superseded it. By the time Paul arrives, that's the common knowledge, is that we have Moses' law, therefore that supersedes everything else. Paul flips that in Galatians 3:17 and says, no, it cannot override what God promised to Abraham. We're going to get into why it can't override it. That's Paul's great argument, because why it can't override it is why nothing can override the new covenant that you're under. We'll do that this week. Have a great day. God bless.